It's time for Football Friday with Bill Savage, presented by Boyd's Royal Knight on Government Boulevard in Mobile, featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis, and insights. The winners, the losers, get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
We have arrived, and it is time for Football Friday with our friend, General Manager of the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF Alliance, and also, of course, analyst for SiriusXM NFL, ESPNU, the ACC, the SEC, host of, Football Philosophy podcast, and also author of Fourth and Go Every Day, and our buddy as well, Phil Savage, joining us. Hey, Phil.
Well, good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I am, and because I think there's some relief. I needed a bye week as a fan. I needed a rest up week.
Your eyeballs are spinning out of your head after watching Alabama and Tua Tagovailoa. You need a break from the one armed bandit that has become of the Alabama offense.
That's right. My couch jockey training over the summer, I was obviously not conditioned enough to make it through, you know, so I need this bye week to recover some of my injuries from eating nachos and some other stuff. So,
being a Bama fan is like being a tennis fan. You just watch the ball go back and forth, up and down the field this year.
You know, it is different. I mean, and Dalton was talking about the Georgia Tech game, too, and the amount of running in that game. And I'm thinking back to the Bama of my youth, the Bama when I was a student there, and then even postgraduate, just looking at it. I mean, run the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lord knows how many times we say run the ball as Bama fans, but now you don't hear that so much anymore.
No, but I tell you what, we all can change our attitudes when you have a passer like Tua Tagovailoa that's taken the college football scene by storm. I mean, in reality, for as much hype as he got from last January the 9th until the opening game this year, there was, I don't know how you could exceed those expectations, and I think he actually had. I mean, 25 touchdown passes and no interceptions through eight games. I know some of the former quarterbacks were on Twitter yesterday. Clint Sterner, who played at Arkansas, and Kirk Herbstreit, who's an analyst for ESPN. Jay Barker jumped in there. And, you know, their point was this would be difficult to do against air, much less against opponent defenses. And, of course, the criticism is that Bama hasn't, quote, played anybody yet. But I think part of it is that they've made some of those teams look like nobody so far.
Well, okay, let's talk about this for just, and then we'll get into the games and analysis. But, you know, your time as a collegiate ball slinger, when you watch Tua, and obviously your time in the pros and analyzing for college and all that, but when you watch him, what makes him different? What is the little extra or a lot extra in him?
I think the biggest thing with him is just the instinctive flair that he plays with. He's got incredible vision for a young quarterback. Heck, for an old quarterback, he's got unbelievable vision. He can cycle through his reads so quickly that you open up the entire field. You don't have to cut the gridiron in half and make it a half-field read, you know, or a high-low just to one side like you see these coaches have to manage and manufacture easy reads for these other quarterbacks. You can open up the entire field, start from the left and go all the way to the right in essentially a blink of an eye. And then the other thing is just the uncanny knack of accuracy. He is dead accurate with the ball. You know, when we would try to assess quarterbacks when I was in the NFL, we used to talk about how I wonder when the kid picked up a rock the first time and tried to hit a stop sign. With Tua, he doesn't only hit the stop sign, he can hit the T in STOP if you ask him to do that. That is a rare, rare quality given his age and level of experience, which, I mean, really right now it's 8 starts plus a half in the national championship game.
He has been outstanding this year, and, of course, a huge game to look forward to next weekend. We have plenty of time to talk about that LSU-Bama game, but let's talk about the other team in the state from last weekend and Auburn. They also have a bye this week, but coming off a win where they finally got back on track offensively, a 31-16 win at Ole Miss. What did you see the Tigers doing differently last weekend to start seeing some success on the offensive side of the ball?
Honestly, Dawson, I don't know that we saw a lot different. They did try to get Jarrett Stidham out on the edge a few times. He did pull the ball on the zone read and keep it himself, which I saw helped him. But the bottom line reality is the Ole Miss defense showed up in front of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Ole Miss defense is so bad that when I was on SEC Today earlier this week with Cole Kubelik, who's an Auburn alum, we co-hosted together on Tuesday, and we both agreed that, yeah, Auburn played better, but it was really more of a combination of playing against a very porous Ole Miss defense. So, you know, the real test for Auburn is going to come in these last 4 weeks of the season where they have three very difficult games coming up. Texas A&M is included in that, Georgia, and then, of course, Alabama at the very end.
Well, Auburn, Bama, LSU, and Ole Miss all on byes this week, so all, the SEC West taking a bit of a weekend off. But there are some good games on the schedule for tomorrow, starting with the world's largest outdoor party, because we can't call it cocktail party anymore. So no, the world's largest outdoor.
And that'll stop the drinking.
I'm sure it will. But Georgia taking on Florida tomorrow, a 7th-ranked team in the Bulldogs and a 9th-ranked team in the Gators. And I don't think many at the beginning of this season would have expected this game to be so competitive and so meaningful at this point.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And just to be politically correct, it's now known as the River City Showdown.
Oh, okay.
I think that's really going to stick.
I'm sure it will.
Long-term connectivity to the Georgia and Florida fans. But nevertheless, yeah, you've got the 13th-ranked defense in Georgia, the 15th-ranked defense in Florida. I think you're looking at two teams that desperately want to try to run the football. In this game, we know Jordan Scarlett, LaMichael Pirine for Florida will be featured to try to take some pressure off of Felipe Franks, the quarterback for the Gators, who, incidentally, for as much criticism as he's taken, and look, he hasn't played great, but right now he's got 15 touchdown passes against only 5 interceptions. So I would say most Gator fans would say, hey, we would have taken that if you had told us that would be his numbers going into the Georgia game. And then, of course, for the Bulldogs, they're trying to have a bounce-back performance after they were dismantled against LSU 2 weekends ago. They got away from the run, could not protect the passer and Jake Fromm. I think you'll see both teams try to run it and try to protect the quarterback to a degree. I think this will be a very hard-fought game. I'm supposed to make a pick on it this afternoon. I'm still not sure which direction I'm going because I feel like Georgia will respond. But at the same time, I think Florida's done a terrific job this year of being able to cobble different ways of winning together through these first 7 games.
Yeah, I can't wait for this one tomorrow. No love lost between those two teams. Of course, in years past, we've seen them before the game get into it at the midfield line as they prepare to kick off. But whoever wins that tomorrow, it'll likely be a two-team race in the SEC East with them and the Kentucky Wildcats, which was surprising. But last week, Kentucky started to seriously show some flaws, even though they beat Vanderbilt, only 18 yards passing. And that was the third time in 7 games that Terry Wilson, the Wildcats quarterback, failed to throw for more than 100 yards. But tomorrow they take on Missouri in Missouri, and even though Kentucky's ranked 12th, they're 7-point underdogs tomorrow.
Yeah, this is a game that is a contrast in styles, and I've made the point a couple times this week that I think Kentucky actually matches up better with Georgia next weekend when the Bulldogs go to Lexington than they do Missouri, because Missouri plays a brand of football that if they somehow get a 10 or 14-point lead against Kentucky at home, it's going to be very difficult for the Wildcats to come back. So this one, Missouri will try to make Kentucky jump into a track meet with them. Kentucky will try to pull them into a phone booth and, mm-hmm. and shorten the game. We'll see which side can execute their brand of football the best, but you know, Kentucky's got a run game in Benny Snell and a defense led by Josh Allen, but at the same time, they have not effectively thrown the ball. And Mark Stoops, the head coach, came out this week and said, look, we've got to get a second quarterback ready to go, because I think he's fearful if they fall behind, they would then go to Gunnar Hope, the backup quarterback, who's a better passer than Terry Wilson.
Auburn's next opponent, the 16th-ranked Texas A&M Aggies. They don't have this weekend off. They're playing at Mississippi State tomorrow. And Mississippi State, of course, coming off that loss to LSU. Last in the SEC in scoring offense against SEC opponents. They're only averaging about 10 points per game. And A&M coming off a bye week, they only give up 77 yards rushing per SEC game this season. What do you see happening in this matchup?
Yeah, this is another game where we'll focus on the quarterback for Mississippi State, Nick Fitzgerald. How short will the leash be for Fitzgerald, who came into the season? Remember when Joe Moorhead was hired? He called Fitzgerald and said, make room on your bookshelf for a Heisman Trophy. Well, not so fast. Last weekend, Nick Fitzgerald goes 8-for-24 against LSU, throws 4 interceptions, and most Bulldog fans are hoping to at least get a dose of Keaton Thompson, the backup quarterback. So we'll see how that one goes. But on the other side of it, Texas A&M, I would think that all of us would agree, they've won the games they're supposed to have won, and they've lost to the two opponents they were expected to lose to, Clemson and Alabama. The catch is they have played horrifically bad at Mississippi State the last two visits to Starkville. They've gotten woodshedded the last two times they've come in there, but it's a different show under Jimbo Fisher. I'm expecting Texas A&M to go in there and take care of business. Their focus will be on Nick Fitzgerald. You take the run game away from the Bulldogs, they couldn't throw them. They couldn't throw the ball and hit Mobile Bay in terms of their passing game right now. So I'm expecting A&M to win. And look, I think Texas A&M and what Jimbo Fisher's done there, I expect them to end up winning now 9 or 10 games. I think they really have figured out who they are for this year. And I'm expecting them to be much improved even next year and the following season after that.
You know, Sean and the rest of my Bama friends have been really easy on me this week after that Tennessee loss to Bama last weekend. I think everybody probably expected it to go that way, but I'm seeing some improvement for Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt. Even through the losses, they seem to be getting better as the year goes on. They're playing South Carolina tomorrow in South Carolina, and the Gamecocks, they haven't won or lost games consecutively yet this year. They're swapping a win for a loss, then another win. What do you see happening in this Tennessee-South Carolina game tomorrow? The last loss for South Carolina was against Texas A&M.
Yeah, South Carolina's certainly been very up and down this year. Not sure exactly what you're going to get from them on a weekly basis. But, Dalton, I would agree with you. Look, I think the mentality, the temperament, the culture change at Tennessee, I think you see the response from their players. But the situation I want to discuss a bit is, you know, Jeremy Pruitt has publicly said, hey, we need better players. Mm-hmm. You know, we need 25 guys that need that buy into what we're doing and can execute it. We only have a handful. Well, the problem when you do that is now you got to go in front of the same guys that you just threw under the bus and tell them how good they are and give them a rub down and say, hey, you got to get back out there and fight for us. And, you know, that's one of the things that as a college head coach, you are the head coach, but you're also the personnel director or the general manager. And that's why you see the separation in the NFL, with the exception of a handful of coaches. It's very difficult to be downstairs and tell the players how great they are and then come upstairs and tell front office management, hey, I want this guy's cut. I want these guys cut. They're not good enough. Let's trade them, what have you. In college football, you've got to merge those two things together, and oftentimes it's difficult to do. And I think it's a first-year coaching mistake by Jeremy Pruitt to do it that way, because – look, the reality of it is he's doing the same thing at Tennessee that John Gruden is doing with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. They're in their first year, and they're basically saying, look, it's not my system, it's not my program that's the problem here. It's that I don't have good enough players. And in Oakland, you can trade them all away and get ready for next year. But at Tennessee, you've got to keep going out there with the same kids, because you can't change oars in the middle of the rowing race in college football.
Yeah, or if you're going to do it, have some time for people to forget. Have that kind of pressure at the end of a season, not in the middle of a season.
I agree 100%. So I think that to answer Dalton's question at the outset, I think that the mentality, the response from the Tennessee team is more important than the physical response or how they play from that standpoint against South Carolina. I think it'll be more of a mentality and a frame of mind going into this game.
There he is, Phil Savage in Football Friday. Of course, general manager of the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF Alliance. Let's talk about, y'all've got spring training coming up in the fall, right?
I don't know if you'd call it spring training, but we do have an orientation camp coming up in December. Matter of fact, I will be headed to the Valley this weekend on Sunday. We've got 3 days of meetings out there with head coach Rick Neuheisel, offensive coordinator Hugh Freeze, and defensive coordinator Nick Aliotti. And so we'll all get together for a couple of days to make some plans. And we're on the road to Las Vegas, gentlemen. That's where the championship game is going to be played for the Alliance for the next 2 years. So the road to Las Vegas begins this Sunday in Phoenix, Arizona.
And, you know, each week when we talk, I said, hey, remind folks that even after the Super Bowl, football still goes on with this. And then people ask me, where can we watch this? So talk about when the season starts and talk about getting our eyeballs on this.
Yeah, the Alliance has a television contract with CBS Sports. So the opening game of the year, which I think is going to be, I can't remember which two teams are featured, but they're on what I call Big CBS on February 9th. The rest of us will be on CBS Sports Network for the rest of the season, and then the championship game goes back to Big CBS. And, of course, the mobile and streaming elements of this league will be available on all sorts of different platforms through our own website, from what I understand, AAF.com, and then, of course, CBSSports.com. as well. So the neat thing about it is we have eight teams. There'll be four games per weekend. There's two time slots on Saturdays, two time slots on Sundays. So each game will stand on its own. You know, you won't have games going on at the same time, which I think will bring even more attention to each particular team.
Great stuff. As always, Phil, thank you. And we'll check you, of course, with the podcast, Football Philosophy, and the author of Fourth and Goal Every Day, and a lot more football to talk about next week on Friday. We'll check you then.
Okay, guys. Always enjoy the time, and we'll talk next Friday in advance of arguably the biggest weekend of the season in college football, with Georgia going to Kentucky and Alabama going to Baton Rouge. They're only 28-9-2 in Tiger Stadium, a second home field for the Tigers.
There it is. Phil Savage and Football Friday brought to you by Boyd's Royal Knight. And did you hear Phil use the verb woodshedding?
Yes.
Woodshedded. I'm going to start using that one. Right, 829 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you along. And, of course, turning up your voice at 343-0106. Great time of year now for, well, it's always a great time of year for seafood. That's stupid. It's always a great time of year for seafood around here. But I will say this, as a oyster fan, the cooler months and the saltier, the less rain you have, the cooler months, the oyster's just that much better. Yum. And check those out along with, I don't know, another 50 or 60 different seafood items at the Original Oyster House, either location, the original Oyster House at the foot of 59 in Gulf Shores, or my location. I mean, I don't own it or anything, but I frequent the Causeway location of the Original Oyster House, where what's nice is this time of year, fishing really good along the Causeway. So if you're going to be fishing this weekend, you know, you can do the old fish for a while, come in, tie the boat up, go inside, get lunch, come back out, get back out on the boat. It's really a cool deal. And of course, great sunset views of the Delta, the Bay, downtown Mobile, in Gulf Shores. Great views of Little Lagoon as well. Check them out for lunch or dinner today, over the weekend. Original Oyster House, online at originaloysterhouse.com. All right, coming right back. Talk to you. 343-0106, 343-0106.
The FBI says a suspicious package addressed to New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker has been recovered in Florida and is similar in appearance to the others received in the past few days. That was the 11th package this week, shortly after a 12th suspicious package addressed to former National Intel Director James Clapper and CNN was identified. Correspondent Evan Perez is in New York.
The package that was recovered in New York, just a few blocks away from CNN, was addressed to CNN, and it was addressed to James Clapper, the former director of National Intelligence. This and the package that was recovered in Florida overnight, which was addressed to Cory Booker, has all of the same similarities, and these are all people who are critics of the current administration.
Investigators calling it domestic terrorism are determining whether the suspicious packages were intended to detonate or simply sent to sow fear. I'm John Trout.
This information update brought to you by Professional Collision Auto Body Repair Shops. Their certified technicians are trained to restore your car to the highest quality standards at a fair market price. Learn more at ProfessionalCollision.com.
Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Dalton, how are you, big guy?
I am doing great. How about you?
Man, doing awesome over here.
Last weekend of October, last weekend to check out Oktoberfest at McConnell Automotive. Tell me about Oktoberfest.
Well, you and I were joking that everybody should wear a Halloween costume at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah.
I don't think it would scare customers, probably make them laugh if you saw our team. But, you know, the main thing, Dalton, that's going on is the countdown to the end of the month with this Oktoberfest sale ending. And what it means to customers listening is that these discounts go away on Wednesday. And I'm going to give you a great example. We had 56 Sierras that were 18 models, Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
We are all the way down to 31 of them now because people are realizing these deals, you know, really are the biggest discounts they've seen in years. So $12,000 and $13,000 discounts off Z71s, huge discounts off Yukons. We have sold, I think, 22 or 3 of them, so they're going fast. So my invitation to everybody listening, you've been thinking about saving huge money, basically, Dalton, buying a new vehicle at like a used vehicle 2017 price. It's happening at McConnell during this Oktoberfest sale, but people have to hurry, Dalton.
And I love the website. It's so easy to search your inventory.
Yeah, people can see the savings right there and check it out. It's McConnellAutomotive.com, two C's, N's, and L's. And, you know, Dalton, we try to save people a lot of time and a lot of money and especially a lot of hassle.
All right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Thanks, brother. Have a great weekend.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew, whether they wear Halloween costumes or not. You can see them at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Maybe it's time to revisit the Halloween. Speaking of Halloween costumes, a story from earlier this week, the cut-rate Halloween costume story.
That was great.
I think that was when, let's see if I'll dig for that in the archives, and we got time to get to it. But I want to say this, that as a piece of useful information to take into the weekend. So I saw Dalton using a new app on
yes.
the phone here. And if you have a phone, you're getting calls to your phone, solicit, you know, telemarketing, it's coming in on your cell phones.
Yes.
And there's a, you know, two things. You just get the calls from anywhere, or there's those marketers that mask their numbers as a local number.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes oddly close to your own number.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, so, which I don't know why that would prompt you to answer it, but, you know, they're coming through, people are getting, I mean, the phone ringing all the time, you know, people finally will, like, I don't answer the phone if I don't know the number, but sometimes, because of work things or whatever, I'm like, it's a local number, that could be something with the business here, I gotta answer that. And you answer it, and it's like, hey, you just won a cruise. No, I didn't. But
I fell for that once.
No,
but it was bad.
No.
It was bad.
Yeah, it's
Wait,
a sucker move. Sucker move, man.
Mm.
But you put an app on your phone. Y'all listen to this, and you were running it this week.
Mm-hmm.
I love this thing. Tell me about the app.
Okay, so I've had, and I don't know if how many of you are like me, I've had the same cell phone number my entire cell phone life. I'm talking since I was 13 years old and got my first cell phone.
Wow.
Where I wasn't allowed to text, only allowed to call mom and dad. But I've had the same cell phone number since.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine how many times I've given out that cell phone number, whether to enter contests or meet new people. And I have just been riddled over the last year with these robocalls. And now the texts that come in from political campaigns, I've gotten so many texts where they're trying to get me to come out and vote or donate money. But these robocalls have gotten so annoying. And there's, of course, a market that's developed from that, where these robocall apps that can pick out which phone numbers that are coming into your phone are the robocalls, and they're able to completely do away with them so that you don't see that these people called in. And this one that I have, it's one of many, so I haven't been able to rate all these robocall apps.
Right.
But I've got one called RoboKiller.
Okay, RoboKiller.
RoboKiller. And it can even figure out which ones, like you said, the same area code as you, the 251 numbers mm-hmm. that come in that are actually bots. It can even figure out most of those. And one cool setting on mine, when they call, so I don't know that they're calling when they're calling. The robocall comes in and RoboKiller.
Like it doesn't even, but that would be the great thing when mm-hmm. you told me that, because it's annoying when you're on another call, because my phone kind of mutes when somebody's beeping in or you got multiple things going on. You're getting stressed, me, you know, trying to sleep and the phone ringing or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But you don't. It doesn't even happen. Like it never.
No, it tells me after the fact that I had a robocall come in. Just a little notification, almost like a text that somebody tried to call me and they shut it down. But one of the cool settings they've added are these fake answer bots.
Okay.
So not only does this app take the phone call, but it has a fake, I guess, almost voicemail-like thing that it plays, so that the person or robobot on the other end is talking to someone that's not me on my cell phone, and then it records it so I can listen to it after the fact. So if it is an actual human on the other end,
right.
and most of the time, in my experience, the humans, they know exactly, they'll answer the phone, hello, I hear you're interested in homeowner insurance, and then they'll catch the bot, and they'll be like, ah, dang it, and hang up on it.
So it records it, so that means you can take that in a court of law as your evidence.
Exactly.
Or just on a Friday night after a couple beers, hey, y'all, listen to this.
Yeah. So for instance, here's one that the answer bot will pick up. If I'm getting a bot calling in, or a human that's trying to sell me some insurance but actually steal money out of my pocket, this might be what they hear on the other end.
Hello. Yes. Are you calling from the gulag? Okay. I like your voice. It's very arousing.
So,
oh my God. That might be what Baron Cohen?
Exactly. So you'll get someone on the other end going, hi, yes, I hear you're interested in, yes, sir. Okay. And it has been a life changer for me. So, Sean, I was telling you about that, and I know you're super interested in that, too.
RoboKiller.
RoboKiller is my app, but there's plenty out there. And if you're tired of those calls like I am, might be worth looking into some of those and seeing which one's best for you.
I still want to know what happened with the cruise tickets.
Okay. So, that story, I went to a concert.
Yes.
You know, they have the booths outside of the concert mm-hmm. where you sign up for stuff, and they have the pull-up contest that the Marines are always out there mm-hmm. with, or the Army. And I signed up to win something. I don't even remember what it was, but I got a call the next week. Hey, turns out we drew you out of everyone, and you can get this ultra low price on a cruise. And I don't know what my mindset was at that point, but I thought I was the big winner, and they dragged me through the whole thing, and they were like, well, actually, it's going to end up being this much money, and somehow I was able to weasel my way out of it, but put in way too much work to get out of something that I shouldn't have been involved with in the first place.
Wow. That sounds so, as the kids say, legit,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to, that can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
This new app is going to be a lifesaver.
I think
sure.
so.
All right. So there it is, RoboKiller, or what are the other ones out there? Just a little tech front thing that might help you out. And I did find it. I found our list from earlier this week. If you missed it, we were talking about Halloween costumes. This is, I love this. People have gone out on Twitter and gathered up at costume shops this year. The not exactly real branded
knockoff.
The knockoff,
the faux.
The faux, exactly. Mm-hmm. What did you call it? The Dr. Thunder, Mountain
yes.
Lightning, or whatever version?
The Sam's Choice version here.
Of costumes out there. A couple of them that they have put up in these pictures are too funny, too. There's one that's supposed to look like Where's Waldo,
uh-huh.
but it's branded because they don't want to get sued. Where's the Stripey Dude? Then there's one that's supposed to be Katniss from the Hunger Games,
mm-hmm.
entitled Hungry Rebel Girl, which I think is a great.
That sounds like one of those TV dinners. Remember from back in the day?
Yeah, it also sounds like a David Bowie song that he missed. This one looks a whole lot like Beetlejuice, but it can't be called Beetlejuice because they don't want to pay the royalties, so it's called Juice Demon.
Juice Demon, Juice Demon, Juice Demon.
Be careful, man.
Say it three times.
One that looks like Neo from The Matrix.
Uh-huh.
It's called Cyberman. There's one that's supposed to look like Hermione Granger from Harry Potter, top student at Hogwarts. It's called Hermione Grinder, student at Chogboards.
That seems like NC-17 right there.
Google my that, you goodness. May come up with something else. And then one that is based on Alicia Silverstone from the movie Clueless. Mm-hmm. Did I mention Alicia Silverstone? Okay, Alicia Silverstone from the movie Clueless. She was Cher, right, in that movie? It says,
I don't remember her name in that movie.
Instead of being the Clueless costume, it's called Notionless. These are some of the costumes. Save a few bucks out there.
I can't wait to hear what some of your favorite costumes were growing up.
Cyberman.
Your go-to costume. Cyberman. Like if you were short on time, short on money, what's your go-to costume?
It only involved one thing.
Don't say like a diaper.
One thing. Only have to use. I'll tell you when we get back. One thing. You can make a very quick costume. FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad you are here. All right, talked a little Halloween costume too. By the way, Jared said, hey, thanks for the app. Listen, Jared, I had the same reaction this week. I said, that's exactly what I need, Dalton, and it's rare that I get excited. I mean, like the TuneIn radio app that I tell you that you listen to the station with, that's probably the only app that I preach about here on the radio station. But now this RoboKiller stuff, I like this.
I will say you use Google Earth and topography apps more than any person I know.
Yes, I do have more mapping. So I do, yes.
That's a good time for you.
Google Earth Pro, Onyx. Yeah, if there's a mapping software, I probably have it. That's my thing. I like to look at maps. This texter says, good morning, everybody. As usual, my favorite Halloween costume is a ghost. You just don't show up.
I see that.
So my trick here. So here's the time saver, money saver. This is as a guy that would sometimes forget that, oh, yeah, we had to have costumes for something.
I already know.
Yeah.
A sheet so that you can go to a toga party.
Now, we did those, though, but but no, you get the hello, my name is sticker and put somebody else's name on it.
Stop it.
That's all you got to do.
And what do you wear with that?
Just whatever you're wearing, because now you're somebody else. Oh, my God. Like, I know, like, my name is Scott or something like that. I put on there, like, that's a heck of a costume, Scott. All right.
I can't believe you just said that.
That's how I roll.
I just find 100 and break it and go as a big baller everywhere I go. That's what I try to do.
My stuff is pretty tame compared to what you guys are talking about. I mean, I would be a baby. You know what I mean? Put on a onesie and then do two pigtails. Or you might say ponytails.
I am not coming.
And then you then you put on freckles and then you have a baby bottle.
Nice.
With apple juice in it.
I'm staying out of this. Sullivan, do not
stay out of it.
As a child.
Do not.
Not grown up.
I was thinking college okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking like college Halloween party.
Get your mind out of the tub.
Okay. Whew. Okay. All right. I thought onesie. Okay. Alan, Gulf Shore is up next. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good, man.
Great.
How about you?
Hey, look, I got in on the tail end of y'all's conversation regarding the robocalls, and I've got a question or something here because I get a lot of these things on both my cell phone, which is just an old flip phone, so I can't load it up with apps. Mm. And my home phone, which is run through a local television company here, I have a bundle package. And what I have found is it robocalls when you picked up the phone and answer it, and you say, as soon as you say hello, somebody comes on. But if you don't say anything, it will sit there for a few seconds and then disconnect.
Right. Yeah.
So if you call those numbers back then immediately, you'll find out that it's not even a real telephone number.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, that's what it's saying. And they've got them now where they look like they're local, you know.
They're able to mask
local numbers.
Names and everything on the TV screen. I have caller ID, so I'll get somebody's name and telephone number. And I don't know who they are, so I'll pick the phone up and listen. Nobody ever says anything. But then if you call it right back, it's like you get that intercept thing saying that the number you dialed is not a working number.
Well,
those are all robocalls?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, Alan, somebody can tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. I have a theory. One of the reasons, I mean, I don't answer any of the calls because they say, somebody told me, now I don't know if this is factual, but if you answer it, even if you hang up, they go, okay, that's a good number. that's a number that somebody will pick up on, you know, and that they're, so that's why I just never answer my phone.
It reminds me of, like, you know, when you see ants working and one ant's like, all right, this is where we're going to do work. Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah, so that's why I don't answer.
The problem I run into is, I mean, even if I don't answer it, I have an answering machine on the telephone at home, plus my telephone service through my cell phone. Both will have voice recorded or answering that says, hey, I'm not available right now, you know, leave me a message.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's how to get around that. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious. I was hoping y'all would have a solution because, like I say, my old phone, I can't put any apps like you're talking about. I wish I could, and maybe it's just time to upgrade. But I'm not technically adept at all this stuff, so if my kid's not around to help me, I'm screwed. I'm messed up.
It's all right. It's Friday. We could talk like that. Hey, thanks, Alan. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I remember when my parents used to answer the robocalls back when, you know, it was only landlines for the most part for everyone. And my dad would always say, and please take me off of your calling list if you wouldn't mind. I think that's completely pointless at this point. Even asking someone to take you off
the calling
list. There's
a national do not call list and there's all that stuff. But I hate to say this. No, I don't. But like so many times I talk about the federal government, they're a step or two behind. For those of y'all that think the federal government's behind one giant conspiracy after another, and they've got all these people working in concert and nobody's messing up and there's these massive global conspiracies, I mean, the national do not call list. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as they set something into place, the technology steps one step ahead of them. I mean, this is like yesterday's technology.
And there's even articles, and I wish I could remember the exact thing, but these companies that do this, they're able to skim money off of the top just by calling these numbers.
Yep.
Because they're able to make like a cent per 100 calls or something like that.
Or if you say, and some of them watch, if you don't respond at all, because if you say yes or no, they may ask you a question that's not specifically germane to what they're actually, they can get charges. Now, I don't know if there's any of those active right now, but I've heard those stories in the past. Just more reason to be a telephone hermit like me. y'all text me if I don't, just let me.
Robocalls make you miss the real humans, and when you do get them, that's why you should say, well, this sounds like a great deal. Give me your number, and I'm going to call you right back.
To do this when in the days of landlines,
right.
And as a single guy, and we had a couple roommates in my house, and we might be, having cooking, drinking a few cold beers, and they would call, and I would put on a show. I'd put on a dramatic interpretation and keep them on the line for
really
35 minutes.
Give us a snippet.
I don't know what we have to have the setup call, but I would get in depth and start revealing a little bit about myself and my character, and then talk about some problems I was having. And asking them,
would the call start with, is this scene? Is this scene?
Oh, gosh. Scene. It's like every substitute teacher I ever had. Scene Sullivan, are you here?
Nope. I do think the best way for the nation to fight back against these calls, though, is to get these calls, these apps that crank these people back, that prank them back, so that if they're frustrated every time they think they have a sale on the line, then maybe they'll stop calling us eventually.
Or they'll figure out some way around that next. And
for
then
sure.
We'll have to get the app for the app for the app. Right, we're stepping on out. Be back with you on Monday morning. Remember that debate. We're doing it live Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Congressman Bradley Byrne and challenger Robert Kennedy Jr. That's happening 8:05 on Tuesday. Plus, win them before you can buy them tickets for Jimmy Buffett next week. Laura Ingram on the way next. I'll be back at noon.